Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. So he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Both the first reading and the Gospel talk about the fulfillment of time. The letter to the Hebrews, we get the most eloquent section in any part of the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to ancestors through the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through a Son. We hear that Son speaking in the Gospel when the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God was at hand. The very beginning of ordinary time, as we transition from the whole Christmas season into this season, which is to make us extraordinary people in the midst of ordinary life, we first encounter Jesus and then we hear Jesus speaking. It's very important for us to ground our entire Christian life, our ordinary time, in these two realities. First, Jesus, the letter to the Hebrews, talks about who's the one speaking in the fullness of time. Before, there were all types of prophets giving partial messages. Different prophets for God would stress different things. But then Jesus came as the synthesis, not in a sentence, but in a word. And that word took on His flesh. And the letter to the Hebrews describes who that Jesus was. First, the Son of God, the ear of all things, the one through whom God created the universe, the refulgence, which means the reflecting brilliance of His glory, the imprint of His being, who sustains everything by His almighty providential word, and who now, after having accomplished everything, is seated at the Father's right hand. This Son is the one on whose birth we've been pondering during the Christmas season. And this is the one who speaks to us in the Gospel. And what does He say? Essentially says three things, three commands, which are key for us always and everywhere to act on. First command, repent. Second, believe. Third, follow me. First, repent. That word that He uses at the beginning of His public ministry is the same word St. John the Baptist used to announce Him, metanoiete, which means have a revolution in your mind. Turn your head around. Don't keep heading in the same direction you always have. Don't hold on to those same thoughts you had yesterday. Turn around. Be prepared to turn around. A lot of us are stubborn. A lot of us think we've already got it figured on out. The saying that I hate the absolute most in pastoral ministry is when I hear from people, "You can't teach old dogs new tricks." And I just say, well, I don't want dogs to go to hell. And unless we change, unless we turn our head and our thought around, we won't be able to be saved. That is a perpetual call. The Christian is always called to conversion, to look at the refulgence of Christ, the brilliant reflection of the Father's glory, and say, I'm not yet like Christ. I'm not yet who I'm supposed to be in His image and likeness. And it doesn't mean that turnaround, that we're turning around 180 degrees. might mean that we're turning around 10 degrees if we've really tried to strive to follow Christ to the extent possible. But we always have to be turning. A Catholic who ceases to turn ceases really to follow and believe in the Lord. That word conversion, as I've said before, means turning with the Lord. And the Lord is never static. He's constantly telling us to get up. So that's the first thing we need to do as this Word, this Son of the Father, the one who holds all things in His providential hand, speaks to us. First word, He says, you got to change. And we got to hear that message. Then we got to open ourselves up to the change that the Lord wants. Second verb Jesus gives us is believe. What does believe mean? It means totally to submit. It means totally to entrust ourselves to the one who's speaking. We believe everything Jesus taught because we trust in Him. When He tells us, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, we believe Him. When He tells us, even though you die, if you live and believe in me, you will live forever, we believe in Him. When He tells us, we've got to turn our cheek to those who slap, we've got to forgive even our enemies, we've got to pray even for our persecutors, we believe in what He says on the basis of this total trust and this total submission and trust to the one who's speaking. We always need to grow in that faith. A lot of the times we trust in ourselves and we trust in earthly gurus and we trust in material things more than we really trust in the Lord. If we really trusted in the Lord, all of us would be spiritually poor. If we really trusted in the Lord, all of us would be spending our time seeking to use whatever moments we have to become good Samaritans. If we really trusted in the Lord, we would be experts in sacred scripture, or at least trying to become experts. If we really trusted in the Lord, our lives would change. The Lord is telling us to repent and believe more deeply. This new year of ordinary time that He's given us is a precious opportunity for that to occur. It's meant to be a year of the Lord. Lord Jesus is going to give us all the graces so that it may be. We really need to trust in His graces. And then the third is follow me. These words that He said to Peter and Andrew, James and John, in the midst of their work, are extraordinary. They didn't know Jesus very much. Peter and Andrew had already met Him after John had pointed Jesus on out. But when Jesus came by, in the midst of their activities, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left their families. Statim, the Latin says, immediately to follow Jesus. That was a sign that they were ready to turn around. That is a sign that they were believing in Jesus. So much so that when Jesus said, do this, come follow me, they accounted that far more urgent, far more important than anything else they were doing. There's always that aspect to the discipleship. Jesus sometimes will say, come follow me, in a radical departure from a way that we've done before. Those are the typical vocation stories when somebody becomes aware of the Lord's summons to follow Him in a much different path than they had previously conceived. But these words, come follow me, are regular. Jesus says those words to us every single day. Every single day we need to be open to where the Good Shepherd, who calls us by name, whose voice we recognize, beckons us to go with Him. He never just says, oh, okay, it's Monday, you guys are on your own. He never says that. He loves us so much that every single day He comes and He says, you, today, come follow me. Most of us as Christians are oblivious to those calls because we don't pray enough, we don't pray the right way, or we don't come listening to the Lord at Mass. How does the Lord speak to us concretely to follow Him every single day? One real application is how He speaks to us in sacred scripture every day. There's always a summons to these three things, to repent, to believe, and to follow Him. But many times we don't listen to the Lord's voice in that way, so that we listen in such a way that my life is going to change forever on the basis of what I hear today. Because the Lord's going to be calling me, maybe in a great way, maybe in a small course correction, to change and to follow Him down that path. Today, as we come forward on this first Monday in ordinary time, the Lord Jesus, the Word in whom the Father has summarized His whole message of love, the One who has stopped the fragmentary times and come in the fullness of time in order to speak to us God's full message. He says to us these three verbs: repent, believe, and follow. And He's going to be saying these verbs to us every day in ordinary time. Let's ask Him for the grace to be willing to change, the grace to totally entrust ourselves to Him, and the grace to get up from where we are and follow Him wherever He leads. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.